This evening's shiur is sponsored by Sandy and Ellie Klein in commemoration of the 18th yard site of Ellie's father, Rav Yitzchak Ben Peretz, whose yard site is Yud Ches Shvat, that is this evening, and we hope that our Divrei Torah will be in Ilui HaNeshama for him. So we're going to talk about a fascinating shaila. I went to be Menachem Aval by Rabbi Uri Orlian, who was sitting Shiva in Lawrence for his father, Rabbi Mitch Orlian, who was a great Talmud Chacham, a very great person, and he told me that he had a shaila that he wanted to discuss with me. So I said, what is it? So he told me that him and all of his brothers were in the hospital last week when his father was unfortunately declining. And he said that right before this happened, right before his father passed away, they realized that they were soon going to become onanim, that they were soon going to be out of the realm of performing mitzvos and davening and doing all the things that regular Orthodox Jews do every day. So he said that him and his brothers turned to each other and said, quickly, we should daven mincha before we are unable to do so. So they quickly davened mincha. There they were in the room, davening mincha right next to the father's bedside. And he said, halfway through the Shemona Esrei, he said they were in the middle of Hashiva Shoftenu Kivarishona. The doctor came in, looked at his machines and said, your father has just passed away. And he said he had the following suffix. Do we finish off the Shemona Esrei? Even though we are onanim, we're halfway through the Shemona Esrei, do we continue on and finish the rest? Or do we just stop where we are, and then retroactively it will turn out that everything we've done until now will turn out to be a bracha levatala. So you're a bracha levatala either way. Because if you finish off, you weren't supposed to say those brachos. And if you stop where you are, then it turns out that all the brachos that you said until that point are a bracha levatala. I thought this was a very interesting shaila. I told him that it happens to be that it is discussed on the page in Shulchan Aruch. The Pisrei Tshuva actually talks about this case. So who would have thought? How often does this come up? Almost never. But yet the Pisrei Tshuva, exactly where it's supposed to be. I'm not such a genius. It's on the page where it should be in Siman Shin Mem Aleph, where the Mechaber talks about Hilchos Anino. So there, the Pisrei Tshuva says, what happens if someone's in the middle of Shemona Esrei and they find out about the terrible news of the death of a relative? What are they supposed to do? So let's just break it down. Let's try to understand. I think it's a fascinating shaila, very interesting issue. And let's try to see what the answer is. So we start with the Gemara Maseches Brachos. It's really a Mishnah there as well, where the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin tells us, Misha Meso Muta Lefanav. If somebody is an immediate relative and they are now dealing with the loss of one of their close relatives. So at that time, from the time of death until the burial, that whole time period before the Shiva, they are considered to be Pater Mikriyashma Umin Atfila Umin Hatfilin. They do not recite Kriyashma. They are not supposed to daven. They do not put on tefillin. In fact, last week, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky had lost his Rebbetzin. She was an elderly woman. He himself is also a pretty elderly man. And I went to the Kvura, which was in Queens, because my brother just made a shidduch. My brother's son married one of Reb Shmuel's granddaughters. So my brother lives in Minneapolis. He's not able to make it to the Levaya. So I went in place of the entire Schechter family. So there I was. And I noticed as all the Kamenetskys were walking in to the cemetery from the Levaya, which took place in Philadelphia, so they had to drive from Philly to Queens to do the Kvura. When they got there, they were all parading in with their tefillin, and I thought it was the strangest thing. But the reason why they did it is because it was very close to the Shkia, and they wanted to see if they're going to finish off the burial before the Shkia, then they would be able to put on tefillin quickly. They're not going to have enough time to go to a shul, to go to somewhere calmly and put on their tefillin. So they were all in the cemetery holding on to their tefillin so that if there's enough time before the Shkia, they would be able to put on the tefillin before it's over. And the reason for that is because the Mishnah says that the entire duration of Aninus, from the time of the death of a relative until the burial, one is not allowed to observe any of the regular mitzvos that they do. Mikal mitzvos ha'muras b'Torah. Now it happens to be the Pisrei Tshuva writes, why is it? And he says, we're going to get into the reason for in a minute, but he says, clearly what you see from this is that Hechmir HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Kavod HaMeis Yoser Mikavodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to care more about the Kavod HaMeis than he wants us to care about his own Kavod. And that's an amazing statement, says the Pisrei Tshuva. Whatever the reason is for this halacha, what you clearly see from it is that God asks us to put him aside in order that we should pay attention to the Meis. And that's a phenomenal, that's a fascinating concept. So that's what the Gemara tells us. And the Gemara then outlines and says he doesn't make any brachos, and if there's a mezumin around him, a bunch of people were eating bread, he's not supposed to answer, he's not supposed to count toward the minyan. This is the Gemara Maseches Brachos. It is also a Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan. And it is actually quoted twice in Shulchan Aruch, which is unusual that the Shulchan Aruch talks about the same set of halachas twice, but once in Aruch Chaim and once in Yerideya. And that's going to be relevant soon because there's actually a contradiction between that which the Mechaber writes in Aruch Chaim and that which the Mechaber writes in Yerideya. So the Rambam adds a very important detail to this halacha, and he says that if you have somebody who is mourning the loss of their relative, he says that on the day of the Misa, they are considered to be an onen, they're not supposed to observe mitzvahs. Then says the Rambam, Nishtahe hames yamim rabim, what if for whatever reason there's a delay in the burial? Either they have to do an autopsy because there was some very unusual death, or because you have to fly to Eretz Yisrael and it's going to take time to get all the tickets and get everyone together, or you're waiting for some relatives to come in from out of town. Whatever the reason is, the Rambam says, if you're going to have to wait a couple of days until the burial, he says that all of those days, she'achar yom ha-misa ad yom ha-kvura, hu oned midivrayim. The Rambam says we would extend the period of aninus, even if it's a day or two or three, a person would be an onen for all that duration of time until the burial happens, because my obligation during all of that time is to focus on doing everything I possibly can for the kavod of the nifter. And therefore the Rambam says, even if it's a few days that I have to wait, I'm not going to say any brachas for a few days, I'm not going to observe mitzvahs for a few days, I won't put on tefillin for a few days. That's an amazing halacha, but that is the reality. I remember during COVID, there was somebody who's distantly related to us, and their parents passed away in a outside of the country. And it was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was one of the South American countries. And at the time, it was very difficult to get bodies out and get them into the United States because of all the COVID regulations. And I think this family had to wait over 2 weeks. And they were owning him for 2 weeks straight, negotiating with the governments, negotiating with the State Department, trying to get the body and figuring out where they're going to bury and how they're going to bury. But it turned out that they were owning him for 2 weeks straight. I mean, that's a wild phenomenon. It doesn't happen that often, but it actually happened here. And it's clear in the Rambam, that's what he says, that even if there is a delay, which is longer than the normal amount of time that it takes to bury someone, we still will consider somebody to be an onen for all that period of time. So this is a very unusual halacha, and it's very uncomfortable. In fact, I remember a number of years ago, I read Rabbi Frand has in one of his books, I couldn't find it today, which one I had read it in. So Rabbi Frand has an essay in one of his books that he grew up in Seattle, Washington, and when his mother passed away, he lives in Baltimore, so he had to take a flight from Baltimore to Seattle, Washington. I think he said it was six plus hours. Does that make sense? You're a world traveler, right? 6 hours to get from Baltimore to Washington State. So I think he says that in the interim, there he was on the plane, and they serve some drinks, and he quickly, you know, opens up the bottle, starts making a bracha, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech, and then he hits himself, and he says, oh, not supposed to make a bracha. Then they come around with some pretzels. He opens it up, and he starts making a bracha, and then he says, oh, not supposed to do this. Then it comes time for mincha. He's looking at his watch. He sees the sun is going down. He pulls out his sitter. He starts saying Asherah, and he realizes, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this either. And he said he kept on catching himself. And he said he came to the realization, which I thought was just so powerful. Why is it that the Chachamim asked us to do this? So he said, we'll see in a minute what the halachic reason is, but he said, al-pi hashkafa, maybe the reason is because sometimes when we have a relative that we're so familiar with, that we're so close to, we have a spouse, we have parents, we have children, we take it for granted. And it's only once we lose them that we begin, unfortunately, to really appreciate what we had. And he said, the same goes with many of the mitzvah observances that we do throughout the year. We say brachos all the time, but we say it because mechanically we are trained to do that from a young age. And he said, perhaps the time of Aninus is a period where we're thinking about that which we lose and reflecting on how worthwhile it was to us, how valuable that was in our lives. And he writes that perhaps this is an opportunity that the Chachamim use for us to look at all of religious life in the same way. And he said, for the first time in his life, he realized, why did I make a bracha and then catch myself in the middle? Because I didn't think about it before I made the bracha. I just said it mechanically. That's why I was catching myself. Had I thought about it before, I would have thought clearly. And I would have reminded myself, no, right now I'm an onen, I'm not supposed to make a bracha. I thought that was just a very beautiful perspective. And he said the period of Aninus gave him an opportunity to once again be familiarized with the appreciation of davening, with the appreciation of being in a shul, of being able to say brachos, of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what we do all the time whenever we say brachos and we daven and do all the things that we do every day. So what is the reason for this halacha of aninus? Why is it that when somebody's in the period of aninus, they are not supposed to observe any of the mitzvahs? It seems quite strange. So the Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos has two different reasons that are quoted. Reason number one is because we need to show honor and respect to the one who has passed away. So the most respectful thing to do is, let's say my parents were coming to visit me, and they're coming to my house. And while they're pulling into the driveway, here I am on my phone, I'm talking to someone, I'm sending an email, I'm not paying attention. That's not a respectful thing to do. I should be dropping everything else that's happening, and I should show respect by giving them my undivided attention. Now, we don't have to take it to an extreme and not go to shul and not say brachos and not put on tefillin, but the understanding is that when I give someone my undivided attention, that is a way of showing respect. And therefore, the Yerushalmi says, we want to show the greatest and the utmost respect to somebody who has passed away, and therefore the relatives take upon themselves that they are not going to do anything else, which means anything else at all, not even saying a bracha, not even putting on tefillin, not even davening, because we want to show kavod ames. That is reason number one. Reason number two, says the Yerushalmi, is because somebody has to be busy, somebody has to be actively involved in arranging for the funeral to take place, in arranging all the hespedim, in contacting the people that need to find out about it, in handling and organizing everything that needs to be put in order. And therefore, if I'm going to be busy running out to mincha, running out to ma'ariv, benching, davening, doing all the things that I do on a normal day, I'm not going to really have enough time. I'm not really going to put my mind to everything that needs to be done because I have another pressure from somewhere else that is on my head. And therefore, the Yerushalmi says, these are the two reasons. What is the difference? Says the Yerushalmi, the difference would be in the following scenario. Let's say I relinquish all of my obligations. Let's say I transfer all my obligations. So I'm a child, I wrote a hesped, and it's all finished, and it's all great. All the phone calls were made. I gave over the body to the Chevra Kadisha. We have a trustee who's in charge of making all the arrangements. We have people helping us out. We have everything done. I'm not needed for anything more. All the phone calls were made, and now we're just waiting. So if I have no obligation to really do anything, I've dispatched my obligation to somebody else, I've assigned it to other people, and I really believe that they're capable of doing it, so now I have plenty of time. So would I be allowed to volunteer to do a mitzvah even in the time of aninus? Well, it depends. If the reason why I'm not supposed to do a mitzvah is because I should show my respect and kavod for the nifter by saying I'm giving my undivided attention with nothing else on my head, then we would say that it doesn't matter, even if you've given over the obligation to someone else and someone else is handling everything, I should still make sure that I give my respect to the person who passed away and I should not be doing mitzvahs. On the other hand, if the reason for aninus is because we want to make sure all the preparations are taken care of, then when I handed it over, I should assume that I would be allowed to volunteer to do a mitzvah should I choose to do so. The truth is, these two opinions in the Yerushalmi trickle down to a dispute, to a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and Maseches Brachos. Rashi writes that the whole reason why I'm supposed to be absolved from doing any mitzvahs is because I'm tarud, I'm busy, I'm preoccupied, I'm totally absorbed in making the arrangements for the funeral. And therefore Rashi would say that if I am not occupied with it, if I have nothing else to do right now because everything has been taken care of, or other family members are doing everything that needs to be done, then Rashi would say that I'm allowed to volunteer to daven or to do any mitzvos even during the period of aninus. And Tosus there says he thinks this is a major mistake, because the reason why we have the mitzvah of aninus is because we want to show that we are giving our undivided attention out of kavod to the nifter. And therefore it doesn't matter how many arrangements need to be done, don't need to be done, you have to put all of your focus on this right now, and that's all that should be on your mind. And therefore, writes the Bali Atosas, that I would not be allowed to observe a mitzvah. It's usher for me to do so, even if I feel such a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I want so badly to do a mitzvah, I would not be allowed to do so. That is the way that the Rishonim interpret this machlokas in the Yerushalmi. How do we paskin? That's a very good question. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote three opinions. How can I have three opinions when there's only yes or no? So the answer is, Rashi says, you're allowed to volunteer. Tosa says, you're not allowed to volunteer. The third opinion is the Ravya, that if I don't have anything else to do, then I'm allowed to volunteer. Rashi says, even if I have other things to do, I'm allowed to volunteer. I could choose to do this, I could choose to do that. Doesn't make a difference. So how is it quoted the halacha in Shulchan Aruch? And here's where the discrepancy lies. If you look in our Chaim in Simon Ayin Aleph, that's Hilchos Tefillah, so there the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following, that somebody who loses a relative, afilu, here the Shulchan Aruch says something interesting, afilu eno mutol alav lekavro. Let's say I'm a member of the Chevra Kadisha. I'm not a relative of this person, but I'm in charge of taking care of everything, and they want to have a levaya as soon as possible, and it's time for me to go down in Shacharis. So should I drop everything I'm doing and tell them, you're never going to have to make it an hour or two later? I actually once had this situation. It was a very, very unfortunate story, but I was with a family who lost a child in the hospital, and I was called at 1 o'clock in the morning when this person passed away. And I went, they asked me to come to the hospital. I went to spend some time with the family, and it ended up being the entire night because the family at the time was so shocked and so overwhelmed by the pain of what they were going through that it took some time just for it to settle in. And after that, they said, we're not having a levaya, we're not having shiva, it's just too painful, we're not doing anything. And it took a lot of time for us to try to weigh upon them that it's disrespectful to the nifteres that she should not have a levaya, she should not have a proper shiva. So it was a very delicate few hours, and we actually had to get another family who lost a child to come and speak to them. Anyway, I was there with them the entire night, and then the body still wasn't released in the morning. Finally, until we got out of there, it was already 8 o'clock, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, it's almost time to daven, what am I going to do? It's almost the Zman Kriya Shema. But I was reminded that this is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. I was an Osik Ben Mitzvah. If I wasn't there, there would not have been a Levaya, and that was the only time that I could remember that I didn't daven Shacharis, and I didn't put on Tefillin. When I came home, Mincha time, after the Levaya, I put on my Tefillin quickly before the Shkia. But it was exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says here. I was not a relative. It was not my obligation, but I had to do what needed to be done out of the kavod to the nifter. And that is what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you're in the middle of taking care of somebody who passed away, you're not supposed to say Kriya Shema, you're not supposed to daven, you're supposed to take care of what needs to be done. Then he says, Afilu imrotza lahachmer alatzmo velikro, eina rashoi, says the Mechaber. And what if I say, oh, I'm such a pious Jew, I want to daven anyway, and I want to put on tefillin anyway? You're not allowed to. Why? Because you need to be doing your job, and you're not allowed to volunteer to do something else when you have an obligation to do this. That is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Fine. Then he adds on, if you have other people to take care of the arrangements, and as a result of that, you seem to have a lot of free time, then he says, ein mochem biyado. All right, you want to daven when you have nothing else to do, so fine, we're not going to protest. We're not going to make a problem. That's the way he writes in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. You look in Yerodeya, Simen Shin Mem Aleph, and there the Mechaber writes it differently. And he says, even if a person wants to be machmir and daven, he's not allowed to. What do you mean? But he just made a stipulation in Aruch Chaim that if I have free time, I am allowed to. So this is a very famous contradiction in Shulchan Aruch, and that's a problem. How do we deal with it? Which one is the right psak? How do you deal with this machlokas harishonim that seems to be a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch himself? How do you understand that? The Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishneh Brura, most of the Gedolei Achronim come to the conclusion that you're not allowed to be machmir. You're not allowed to daven, and you're not allowed to take upon yourself to volunteer to do a mitzvah. The din of aninus is mishum kavod ames, and that means I have to give my undivided attention, and it doesn't matter how much I've given off responsibility to other people who are involved, I have an obligation to do what needs to be done, and I have an obligation that even after that is done, to singly focus my attention on the nifter or the nifteres, give them everything that I have, and be busy with nothing else at all. And therefore, we assume generally that you are not allowed to volunteer to do a mitzvah in that time. Now we move on to our shaila. And all of that background was extremely relevant and very important to what we're about to discuss. So as we mentioned, the shaila is, let's say you have somebody who's davening Shemona Esrei in the hospital, and in the middle of their Shemona Esrei, the doctor comes in and says, by the way, I'd like you to know that your relative just passed away. So what are they supposed to do? On the one hand, if they continue the Shemona Esrei and finish it off, then maybe you're reciting Bracha Levatala, Bikum Va'aseh. You're actively making a Bracha Levatala. If I stop the Shemona Esrei right now, then maybe I'm making a Bracha Levatala, Limafreya, B'sheva Altaseh. Then all the Brachas that I said until this point are Levatala, but at the time I didn't know they were Levatala. So which one's better? What should I do? Should I finish off, or should I just stop where I am, and then it will turn out that everything I did until this point was Levatala? That is the Shaila that we need to think about. Can we identify a similar case and try to draw the halacha out of that? That's what you always need to try to do. So if you look in the Tur has an interesting scenario where he says, what happens if somebody davens mincha, and they're in the middle of davening, and then they say, I can't believe it. You know, it's in the summer months when Shkia is at 7, 8 o'clock. Someone comes home from work, runs to shul, starts davening mincha, then he says, 1 minute, we had a 1:30 mincha in the office today. I davened already. Ever happened to anybody? I assume. So it's all from a good place. It's because we want to daven mincha. It shows that maybe we didn't pay so much attention to the mincha we davened earlier. It didn't make such an impression on us, but okay. So it happens to the best of us that You end up davening again. Then the Torah writes, now I catch myself in the middle of Shemona Esrei and I say, hey, one second, I davened already. Then I start questioning myself, did I daven, did I not daven? Then I remember, yes, I did daven. I daven every day in the office. We had a minyan today. So what do I do now? Here I am halfway through the Shemona Esrei, the same dilemma. Do I finish off and then all of those extra brachos will be a bracha lebatala? Do I stop where I am and then it turns out that all the ones that I made until this point are a bracha lebatala? That's the shaila. Isn't that the same kind of question? So the Torah writes in a situation like that, that you have to stop exactly where you are, even in the middle of a bracha. You do not continue. So maybe we should learn from there that the same would be in our case. If you get this kind of uncomfortable news in the middle of a Shemona Esrei, you have to stop exactly where you are, and you don't have a right to go further. Is that a good test case or not? Anyone with me? So this is not a good test case at all. Why? Because in this case, when the Onen started his Shemona Esrei, at the time that he started, he was obligated to daven mincha. In this case, at the time that you started, you were not obligated to daven. So everything you did until now was worthless. You weren't supposed to start, and therefore you certainly shouldn't finish. So that really would not be a good way to judge how we would handle this case. And that's why the Chazon Ish is really not sure whether you can bring a proof from this tour, because he says there's a major distinction, there's a major difference between the case that we just mentioned where somebody forgot that they had already davened and the case what we're mentioning here where I had an obligation to daven, but halfway through my davening I now become putter, I now become absolved from my obligation. And maybe we'll hold off on the questions because we only have 5 minutes left. So that is why maybe you can't bring a proof from that. In fact, the Pischei Tshuva writes in the name of the Chamudei Daniel. He's often quoted in the Pischei Tshuva. I don't know anything about him. But the Pischei Tshuva writes from the Chamudei Daniel that for this reason, if you know that somebody lost a relative and you know they haven't yet davened, hold off a few minutes and don't tell them. So obviously he says, if by holding off a few minutes it's going to be a bizayon ames, and you're not going to be able to get the funeral in time, and you're not going to do what has to be done, obviously you tell them right away. But usually that's not the case. You wait an extra 5 minutes, it's not a big deal. If you see that somebody has to daven mincha, tap them on the shoulder, tell them, you know, maybe you should daven mincha, it's almost the shkia. Don't tell them that the person passed away. Let them daven, let them put on tefillin, let them do what they have to do. And then, later on, they will be informed, they'll be notified about the passing of their relative, and then the aninus will kick in. But this is the reason why, because once you're going to tell them, then they're going to be stuck. Now, let's see if there's any potential source that we can look at that might be another opportunity to learn what to do in our case. So there happens to be a comment of the Yerushalmi. It really stems from a Maseches Smachos. And the story goes as follows. Hayoshev u'mesaper. What does that mean? Somebody is sitting and speaking, right? No, means I'm sitting and taking a haircut. Right, so I'm sitting, it's close. So I'm sitting and taking a haircut. Maybe I'm talking to the barber also. So it means that I'm sitting and taking a haircut. And then, as he's on the barber chair, Amrulo, they say to him, Mei Savicha. We're sorry to let you know. You know, he gets an emergency text message. By the way, your father just passed away. And he doesn't know what to do. Here he is, he's halfway through his haircut. If he gets off the chair and goes home, he's going to look ridiculous, because half his hair is cut and half the hair is not. So what are you supposed to do? The Yerushalmi says, Hareza Yigmar. You finish off the haircut, even though you're not allowed to cut your hair when you're in Avelus. You're not supposed to do that, but you're allowed to do it. And then the Yerushalmi says, let's say we're not talking about the person who's in the barber chair. Let's say we're talking about the barber. And in the middle of the haircut, the barber gets a message that his father passed away. So what does he do? Yerushalmi says, you finish off. Why? Because you can't leave the customer hanging. What do you mean I can't leave him hanging? I can apologize and say to him, you know, an emergency just came up, I gotta go. Says the Yerushalmi, no. You finish off what you're doing because hischil beheter, because you started, when you started the haircut, everything was fine. You didn't expect this to happen. Now suddenly in the middle you get this emergency message, that's not a reason to stop. So some want to say that maybe from here we should learn the same in our case. When I started my Shemona Esrei, I had an obligation to daven and everything was fine. Hischil beheter. Now, halfway through the Shemona Esrei, I find out that I'm no longer obligated to daven, so maybe that should be the same as the haircut. The answer to that is no, it's not similar at all, because if you look carefully in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says the reason why we let you finish is not because you started at the right time, but rather because gadol kavod abrios, because we don't want to humiliate you. It's very embarrassing. You're going to show up to your father's levaya, and half of your head is going to be shaved, and the other half of the head is going to be a full head of hair. It looks ridiculous. So we're going to make somebody embarrass themselves. Mishum kavod abrios. We're going to override the laws of aninos. We're going to override the laws of avelos. That is not similar at all to the situation here by Shmona Esrei. You cannot bring a proof from that case to our case over here. So that is a special dispensation that we find that mishum kavod abrios we would allow you to do something, but that is not something that we can learn to our situation here. Now, the conversation continues. If you look in the Sefer Chazon Ovadia, which is a beautiful set of Sfarim by Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, he has about 6 or 7 pages on this Shaila, and he writes the following. And it's obvious what he says, but I think it's an amazing insight. Number one, the reason why you're allowed, lahalacha, we assume you're supposed to continue the Shmona Esrei. Why? Reason number one is because in the first place, it's a machlokes harishonim, as we said, whether I'm allowed to volunteer to do a mitzvah at the time of Aninus. Rashi says you're allowed to volunteer. Tosa says you're not allowed to. Shulchan Aruch has a stira. In one place the Shulchan Aruch says you can, in one place the Shulchan Aruch says you can't. So number one, it's a machlokes harishonim in the first place. Here I am in the middle of Shmona Esrei, I'm not sure what to do. You can rely on the other opinion than the Rishonim that I'm allowed to at least volunteer to finish my Shmona Esrei. Normally we assume that you're not supposed to start a new endeavor, you're not supposed to do something that's a mitzvah that you weren't involved with, but here I was already halfway through. So if you're halfway through and you're stuck with the rest of the Shmona Esrei, you can rely on the other opinions in the Rishonim, and you would be allowed to finish it off. That's reason number one. Reason number two, which is fascinating, we don't have enough time to get into it, but he says, right now, what is the reason why when somebody's busy with a mace, that they're not supposed to daven? One of the reasons is because, osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Right now, the Torah asks me to be involved in this one activity. If the Torah wants me to do this mitzvah, why should I think that tefillin is more important? Why should I think that davening is more important? My focus should be on the mitzvah that's in front of me. And I should not be distracted by anything else, even though it's a distraction for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said right now that I'm supposed to do the mitzvah. If I'm supposed to do the mitzvah, then that's what I should do. And I shouldn't allow myself to be distracted by a second mitzvah that comes along the way. Fine. Writes Rabbi Avadia. Here, it goes the opposite. What is the mitzvah that I'm involved with right now? Davening. I started davening. Halfway through the davening, a new mitzvah comes along. What's the new mitzvah? Halvayas ha-meis, taking care of the mace. Well, it works in the opposite direction. Right now, I'm in the middle of davening. So the mitzvah that's in front of me that I'm supposed to be doing is the mitzvah of tefillah. Now something else comes from the other side and tells me that I should take my attention away from the davening and now divert my attention to a new mitzvah. No, it doesn't work that way. Osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. For the very reason that we assume that when somebody is busy with an avelos, they're not supposed to be davening, is because osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. That works in the opposite direction here. That once I'm in the middle of a mitzvah of Shmona Esrei, I should finish up this mitzvah, and then I should move on to the next one. It would be disrespectful to me to turn that aside for the new mitzvah that has now risen. Now he says, whoa, that's not so simple. Why? Because maybe when I say osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, that means when I have two mitzvahs that are of equal, relevance and significance, right? Two mitzvahs that are of equal importance. I have a mitzvah d'araisa X, mitzvah d'araisa Y. But here, I have a mitzvah d'araisa of kvuras ha-meis. I have a mitzvah d'rabbanan of davening, right? We assume, the Mishnah Berurah writes like the Ramban, we assume that tefillah is only d'rabbanan. So is that true? You have two mitzvahs that are clashing here, but one of them is only d'rabbanan. So that's way down the totem pole. One of them is way up here. So what would I do? Is that true that if I'm busy with a mitzvah d'rabbanan, I have a right to then ignore a mitzvah d'araisa that comes my way? That's a very, very fascinating question that goes way beyond the discussion that we're having now. But it's something that's very, very fascinating. In fact, I'll leave you with this. Magen Avraham writes in Aruch Chaim that let's say I have somebody, you know, right after the kvura, so the minhag is that we do a shura, that we are a menachem de'avel, everyone who's around does a nichum avelim. Is that a mitzvah d'araisa, mitzvah d'rabbanan? No, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Nicham Avelim is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Says the Magen Avraham, what happens if it's 5 minutes before the Shkia, and we realize until we get everyone together and we do the Nicham Avelim, we make the Shura and everything, we're going to miss the Shkia. We're not going to be able to daven. So we have two choices. Either we should do the Nicham Avelim or we should daven Mincha. So he says, we daven Mincha. Why? Because we could do the Nicham Avelim in 5 minutes from now. What if we're in the middle of Nicham Avelim, we're all sitting around, and somebody looks at his watch and realizes what time it is, but it's going to disrupt the whole Nicham Avelim if we stop for Mincha. Writes the Magen Avraham, if you're in the middle of the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim, you don't stop to daven Mincha. You keep everything as is, and even if it means everyone in the room is going to miss the davening, miss the Shkia, that's what you do. So you see from there, potentially, that even if I have a mitzvah derabbanan of nicham avelim, it would override some kind of other mitzvah, even potentially a mitzvah daraisa. So that's a very, very interesting issue. In fact, the Achronim discuss a case. I'm going way off here. There's a lot more to discuss on this point. But the Achronim have a fascinating shaila, and that is, what happens if you have a person who knows that they're not well? The doctor says there's no way you can fast Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. There's no way you're going to make it through both of them. It's too weak on your body. You're too close to each other. So which one should they do? Which one should they fast? Right? Tzom Gedalia comes before Yom Kippur. If I fast Tzom Gedalia, I'm not going to make it through Yom Kippur. But Tzom Gedalia is only Derabbanan. Yom Kippur is Daraisa. But right, which one comes first? Tzom Gedalia is earlier in the week. So do I fast Tzom Gedalia and then say, well, whatever happens next happens, and if I can't fast Yom Kippur, I can? Or do you say, no, in the context of Yom Kippur, Tzom Gedalia is irrelevant, because this is Daraisa and that's Derabbanan, and therefore, from the outset, I should overlook Tzom Gedalia and only focus my attention on Yom Kippur. I should pretend as if Tzom Gedalia doesn't exist at all, and I should only focus my attention on Yom Kippurim. Again, similar to this kind of question, it has a lot of very interesting and relevant nafkaminas lahalacha. But the bottom line for this shaila is, if Rachmana Litzlan, somebody's in the middle of davening, and they get a besura, and they find out, they get a message that one of their close relatives has just passed away, the halacha is clear in the Pischei Tshuva, the Stechemet is a long arichas on it, and many other svarim, the halacha is clear that they would finish off the Shmona Esrei, they would not stop where they are, and we would assume that they have a right to do so because of the two reasons that we discussed earlier.